Hegel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 20 in the series, entitled A Marriage of Minds Between Man and God, recorded live at Hegel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good evening. We are up to Tanya Perek Hei, the fifth chapter of Tanya. In the previous chapter in Perek Dalet, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi explained that grasping, being teifus in the terminology he uses, the reality of Hashem can be achieved through and only through the study of Torah and the fulfillment of its mitzvahs, which in most cases can be realized via man's three garments of the soul, thought, speech, and action. In the following chapter, in the fifth chapter, Reb Shneur Zalman develops this point further, explaining and elucidating A, the definition and nature of this tfisa, of this grasp, which is achieved as a result of man studying Torah and observing its mitzvahs, and B, the superior nature of Torah study to all other mitzvahs. For although both the study of Torah and the observance of its mitzvahs grant us the opportunity to create and form a connection, a link, a bond with the Creator, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, being as they are the wisdom and will of Hashem, which are truly one with Him, as He elaborates quite at length in Perek Dalet, nevertheless, in those two aspects itself of Torah and Mitzvahs, the value of the study of Torah, Reb Shneur Zalman will demonstrate, exceeds and surpasses that of mitzvahs. Now, the significance attributed to learning Torah in our tradition and heritage is, I think, beyond description. Being as it is so deeply embedded in the psyche and in the soul of our people. The moving words of David HaMelech in Tehillim Perek Kuf Yutas Patsuk Tzadik Beis, Lulei Seirascha Sha'ashuyei Az Avadati Va'anyi, had your Torah not been my preoccupation, I would have perished in my affliction, are just some of the myriads of psukim and my Mari Chazal dispersed all over our the literature of Torah, which convey to us the pivotal role that studying Torah plays in the life of the Jew and the nature of its centrality in the Jewish experience. In this Perek, Perek Hei of Tanya, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, one of the greatest Torah masters of his time, takes us on a journey into the heart and the soul of this extraordinary phenomenon ingrained in the very identity of our people from its beginnings. A phenomenon which has no equivalent and not even a comparison in other cultures of the world. A phenomenon which came to be known throughout all the generations with its two words, Limud HaTorah, learning Torah. But in addition to this, Reb Shneur Zalman in this Perek clarifies one more point. At the conclusion of last chapter, if you recall, the Alter Rebbe depicted the study of Torah as being a royal embrace, an embrace of a king. He said that when one studies Torah, which is Hashem's wisdom, it can be compared to someone who embraces a king and someone who is being embraced by the king. There is no difference, says the Alter Rebbe, if the king is wearing one robe or many robes as he is being embraced or as he is embracing, since the bottom line is that the body of the king is in these garments. After the conclusion of the shiur, some of you came over to me and asked the question why the Alter Rebbe offers two analogies, both of man embracing the king and of king embracing man, which at first glance seems superfluous. This point as well will be clarified in this Perek and Perek Hei. Let's learn the text. Well, the text was Biur Beir Heitev, a further explanation to more fully elucidate. Lashain Tfisa Sha'amar Eliyahu, the Lashain of Tfisa, of grasp, which Eliyahu said, Leis machshava tfisa bachulu. No thought can grasp you, etc. This is a statement that he has already quoted in the previous Perek, and it's the famous declaration that Eliyahu Hanavi makes in the introduction of the section of Zayar, called the Tikkunei Zayar, the Hakdama of Tikkunei Zayar, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. There is a section which many Jews and Jewish communities recite Friday afternoon before Mincha, which begins Pasach Eliyahu. Eliyahu opened his discourse va'amar, and he said, what did he say? Ribayin Olmin, the Antu Chad V'lav Chushban, Antu Ilah Al Kal Ilayin, Sesima Al Kal Stimin, Leis Machshava Tfisa Bach Klal. Master of the worlds, you are one, but not in the numerical sense. You are exalted above all the exalted ones, hidden from all the hidden ones. No thought can grasp you at all. Which the Alter Rebbe quoted the statement in the previous chapter to define the nature of Hashem and His wisdom. So now, to explain further this concept of Tfisa, which Eliyahu discusses when he says that no thought can grasp. But as he discussed in Perek Dalet, this excludes Torah and Mitzvahs, which are the means through which mortal man can indeed grasp the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to explain this, we have to preface the following ideas of the experience that occurs when a person indeed grasps and comprehends a concept of Torah. Hine kol seichel, every mind, kishamaskilu masik besichle eze muskol, when the mind, when the seichel, conceives and comprehends through his intellect a concept, have a haseichel toifes es hamuskol umakifei besichle. The mind grasps that concept and encompasses it. Vahamuskol, and the concept, nitvas umukov umelubash b'toich haseichel sheisigiv yiskilei, is grasped and encompassed by and is clothed within the mind that understood and perceived it. And he continues, v'gam also haseichel melubash b'muskol, the mind is clothed within the concept, at the time of intellectual comprehension and grasping. What is the Alter Rebbe telling us over here? If we observe his words carefully, we see he keeps on using two phrases. One is the makif and the mukaf, and the malbish and the malubash. Makif is the encompasser, mukaf is the object which is enveloped, which is encompassed. Malbish is the one that encloses, and malubash is the one which is enclosed in the thing that encloses it. Now, of course, when you're dealing with a mind grasping a concept, it's not such clear, concrete, physical, tangible realities. So these concepts, the terminology of Shneur Zalman is using, have to be understood as a metaphor, as a parable. Physically speaking, when you say that one object is makif, encompasses another object, which is called in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, a nikaf, what occurs, what are we trying to convey? What occurs is that this object which is being encompassed is not conspicuous anymore. It is totally encompassed and enveloped by the object which is encompassing it, so it does not exist as an independent, distinct, separate entity, but rather it's part and parcel, it's totally engulfed and enveloped by the thing which is encompassing it. If part of it is sticking out, if part of it can be seen outside of what encompasses it, it cannot be said to be wholly encompassed. Partially, but not wholly. So that's makif and mukaf. Nikaf. Mukaf or nikaf. When you talk about a malbish and a malubash, over here, of course, the malubash is enclosed within the garment that encloses it. But furthermore, a garment suits the bearer of the garment. A garment usually expresses the wearer of the garment. A suit is called a suit not in vain. It has to suit and be equivalent to the size, to the measurement of the man who is wearing this garment. Furthermore, it expresses the nature of the wearer of this garment. In light of this concept, we can understand, Alter Rebbe says, that the same process occurs when man's mind conceives, comprehends, and grasps an intellectual concept. Generally speaking, when you talk about a mind understanding a concept, there is a confrontation or an encounter, a meeting between two entities over here. One entity is man's mind, which exists independently of the concept, and for many years might have not even been aware of that concept. And then there is a concept, which is also a justified existence unto itself, existing independently from the mind, which might comprehend it. When you toil and work to understand something, in essence, there is an effort being made to fuse, to connect, to link two entities, two realities, two worlds. Your seichel and the muskel. Your mind, your seichel, your means of understanding, and the muskel, the intellectual idea, concept, which you are trying to understand. In this encounter, generally speaking, there are three stages. And bear with me. Stage number one is where the person grasps and conceives the concept in a very general fashion. He appreciates and grasps, albeit for a brief moment or for several moments or for a longer time, the seminal idea of the concept in a very general way. Prior to that, you cannot say that his mind encompassed the object yet. You could say that his mind is starting to touch the object, is in effect having some contact with it, but then there is a stage where the human being generally can be said to encompass the concept. That's stage one, where the seichel is tofes, grasps, and encompasses the muskel. Then comes stage two, where understanding a concept generally totally does not suffice. Where you take that concept, but now you want to really understand it. So you begin dissecting it, compartmentalizing it, dividing it, and probing every detail, every aspect, every layer. And at this moment, there is a shift. Your mind does not anymore encompass the concept. You are confused. You do not have it. You do not grasp it. On the contrary, your mind is now enclosed and enveloped by the concept. What do we mean that your mind is enclosed by the concept? Your mind is totally engulfed and enmeshed within the parameters, within the dimension of the concept. You cannot be thinking about anything else. Your mind does not have any distinct identity at this moment. Your mind is totally being contained and occupied and being defined via the muskel. The muskel, now the concept, becomes the makif, which is encompassing your seichel, which is encompassing your mind, and becomes also the levush, the garment which is expressing your mind, the nature of your mind, the talent of your mind, the parameters of the mind, the features of your mind. And this goes on for a long time. And then finally, as you conclude dissecting the details, and the picture is complete, and now you have it. You grasp it, you comprehended it totally. You have it in its full scope, breadth, depth, all its dimensions are there. Now you have a full, beautiful, intellectual edifice and mansion which you can explain to someone else, you can relate to someone else. Now, once again, your mind encompasses the concept. The concept is totally enveloped by the mind. We cannot say that the concept is sticking out. There's a part which you do not have. On the contrary, you grasped it totally. It's now totally in your mind, in your brain, in your head. These three stages are what the Reb Shneur Zalman is alluding to in his words over here. And bear with me, please look in again to the words, and I want to go back. Hinei kol seichel kishamaskel l'masik b'sichle yezeh musik. When a mind conceives and comprehends a concept, stage number one is you're studying a text, You read it, you get the general picture. At that moment, you think you have it. The stage of Chachma, the Seichel grasps. The mind grasps the concept of Makifei B'Sichla and ultimately encompasses and envelops it. Then, now we skip to stage 3. After that happens, and then you get into the details and you begin analyzing it in a very detailed manner, what occurs afterwards is Hamuskel. Now the entire muskel is nitvas, umokov, umalubash, b'teicha seichel, shehisigai vehiskilei. Now the concept is grasped and encompassed by and closed within. The mind that understood and perceived it, note that he says shehisigai vehiskilei, which according to Hebrew grammar refers to the past, because this is referring to that stage when you have already completed your toil and effort of analysis, of detailed analysis, and you completed that analysis, so now the muskel, the concept, can be said to be totally enveloped and encompassed by your mind. In the stage number 1, you cannot say that the muskel is totally encompassed by your mind, because since you only grasp it in a general way, so the detailed dimensions of the concept are not in your mind. They are, so to speak, outside of your mind. We cannot say that they are fully enveloped by the mind. But in this case, we say that the muskel is now nitvas and mukof and malubish b'teicha seichel, because the seichel, the mind, was masigin and was masculine, perceived it and comprehended in a complete fashion. You'll ask a question. Even at this stage, there are always layers and layers of significance that a human mind, cannot understand, even in any type of wisdom. As much as you understand, as much as you have a clear picture, if you'll review the text a year later, you'll discover new dimensions. But we're not talking about that. That's the part of the concept which does not have a relationship at the moment with the man. That does not have a relationship with the mind. Of course, there are deeper layers of significance that he didn't even begin scratching the surface of. But those aspects of the concept which do have a relationship with man, which we can understand, which we can grasp. At the first stage, we did not grasp that. At the third stage, that muskel, that concept, is totally enveloped by our mind, which takes a lot of effort, it takes toil. Anyone who has experience with studying, with intellectual pursuits, is aware of these 3 stages. These are common phenomena. Now he continues back to stage 2. V'gam ha-seichel melubash b'muskel, and also the mind is closed within the concept when? At the time of the intellectual comprehension and grasping. Not when he's sigay v'yiskilei in the past, but at the time when he's understanding it, when he's comprehending it, when he's analyzing it, when he's struggling with clarifying, with crystallizing, with conceptualizing the subject matter, at that time, your mind is totally enclosed, involved, and within, and defined by, and expressed through the concept. Is it clear? Any questions? You're holding by stage 1, or it's 2 or 3? Okay. And again, let me emphasize. In stage 2, you can ask the question we know now, how much percent of our mind do we use when we think? How much percent? Quite a little. I mean, some people a little more, some people a little less. So what does it mean that the seichel is totally encompassed? Again, the part of the mind which we're not using, the Alter Rebbe is now discussing. Because that's, so to speak, stored away in the cellar of our consciousness, and we're not tapping into it, we're not accessing it. So that's not what's discussion over here. Just as I said before in the muskel, of course there are parts we are not accessing, he's not discussing that. Next year you'll access, in 2 years, in 3 years, and even after our lifetime, we have finite minds, our resources are limited, and we can understand what we can understand. The same is true regarding the mind. That part of the mind which we are tapping into, which we are using, that part of the mind, if you are truly thinking, if you are truly trying to understand, to comprehend, to conceive, to apply, to conceptualize, it is encompassed and enveloped in the midst of studying and learning by the concept. Now let's continue. Derech Mashal. For example, by way of illustration, Kisha Adam Mevin Umasig Eizei Halacha When a man understands and comprehends a particular halacha in the Mishnah or in Gemara, clearly and thoroughly, Lashur al-Barya means very well. He understands the concept of halacha in Mishnah and Gemara thoroughly and clearly. What occurs at that time? Harei, at that time, Sichloi, Taifes, Umakif, Isa. His mind grasps and encompasses that halacha. Vigam Sichloi, Melubash Baba, Isa Shah. And his mind is also clothed in it at that very time when his mind grasped and encompassed it. What is Dr. Rebbe telling us over here? There is that moment when fusion occurs. If you realize over here, he talks about your seichel being teifes, the muskel, and at that time, your seichel is melubash in the muskel. Which time is he referring to? Again, stage number one is when you encompass it generally. Stage number two is when you're confused, when you're thinking about it. You do not have a complete picture. You're working, you're thinking again and again and again, might be for 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, might be for a week. You sleep on it, you dream on it, and you don't stop thinking about it. And finally, afterwards, you got it. You have the picture. You have the picture. You have a full, beautiful mansion with many chambers, compartments, floors, bars, windows, furniture. You have a complete idea. You have the questions in place, the answers in place, the proofs in place, the refutations, the questions, the dilemmas. Everything is in place. You have it now clear. At that moment, when you're still totally engulfed in it, but there's a clear picture, what occurs? This is what occurs. When you understand that halacha la'ashur al-barya, you grasp that you comprehended it, it's crystal clear in your mind. What occurs? On one hand, your mind is teifes umakif, the concept. Your mind grasps and encompasses, envelops the concept. The concept can be said to be totally enveloped by your mind. It's, so to speak, in you. The whole thing is in you. There's no part which is outside of you. There's no part which is eluding you. Your seichel has it. Your seichel grasps it. It's there. Simultaneously, ba'aisashah, at that time, your seichel is malubashba. We can say that the mind is enclosed in the concept. At that time when the thing has crystallized, it has become clear in his mind, he grasps it, but he is also grasped by it. His mind is not thinking about anything else. His mind is not shifting to any other concept or subject. His mind is now totally enclosed in this concept, is defined by the concept, is limited by the concept, cannot think about anything else, and is being expressed via the concept. If you want to appreciate what type of mind this person has, this is the garment now. The muskel is the garment. The concept is the garment. This is the tunnel, the avenue, the window through which we appreciate your mind by no other means at this time. Afterwards, in an hour, in a day, when you go to do something else, when you occupy your time not with understanding this halacha l'ashur al-barya, that ceases to exist. We can still say, perhaps, that the seichel, to a significant degree, encompasses the concept. It's stored away in the filing cabinets of your brain, so to speak. So in a week, someone comes to you and asks you, what's pshat in this halach? You'll open up the filing cabinet, take out the file, and deliver it to the other person. Albeit you might forget a detail. Still, you cannot say that the seichel encompasses it as when you have it, as when you're thinking about it, as when it's crystallized. We all know something that's committed to memory is pales in comparison to something that you just understood. But certainly, the seichel is not totally not encompassed by the muskel then. Then you're thinking about other things. Once it's committed to memory, this fusion ceases to exist. So this is the process, the intellectual process, which is defined by the Alter Rebbe. What occurs when a mind comprehends, grasps, conceptualizes a concept, the link, the bond, the fusion, the unity that is created between the mind and the concept, where the mind both encompasses the concept and is encompassed by this intellectual idea. Clear? wonderful. Thank you. Okay, let's continue. When we're in the midst of thinking about something, it's difficult to analyze this process. Because if you're analyzing the process of thinking, you can't actually think about something. Because you're analyzing how you're thinking about it. So therefore, it's important that although our reference point is, we refer to those times and experiences when we're thinking about something, but to clearly understand this concept, when your mind is being engulfed and enveloped by this concept itself, it's difficult to appreciate and understand this concept. But actually, everyone can observe this. Many times, when someone is giving a shiur, people are listening. While the person is talking, you did not get the picture yet. He has just began to develop his point. He knows what he wants to say already. I hope so. But the people do not know yet because he didn't finish. In the midst of that process, we experience and we discern stage number two in a very vivid manner. Does the seichel encompass the muskel? By no means. The muskel is sticking out from all sides, north, south, east, west. It's just beginning to formulate. And sometimes when you're listening to someone else, when you're not developing the point by yourself, you lack stage number one. It begins with stage number two. But what can be said is that the muskel, the concept, is enveloping your mind. Your mind, if you're truly listening, we're not talking about people who come to sleep, but if you're truly listening and you're paying attention to it, your mind is totally focused and concentrated on this idea by the serious student. The concept is totally enveloping and encompassing your mind, where your mind is enclosed, defined, and expressed via this concept, as explained before. Literally, you can't think about anything else, but it's not only you cannot think about anything else, which shows that it's totally occupied by the concept. It's being defined by this concept. All its energies, its focus, its features are filled, are enclosed and directed and being defined by this concept. Then, after the conclusion, when you grasp it, when you have it, now what occurs? In addition to your mind being developed by the concept, which still continues, Sichlei Melubesh Baba Isa Sham, now also the concept is enveloped by your mind, it's encompassed by your mind. And that's what Alter Rebbe emphasizes, Ba'ais HaShah. Later, in an hour, your seichel is not enveloped by the concept. But Ba'ais HaShah, when you grasped it, when you had it, your seichel is enveloped by the muskel. Okay. V'hinei. Halacha zu. Now this halacha in Mishnah or Gemara, which the person understood or comprehended thoroughly and clearly. So this halacha, which man comprehended, he chachmasai uritzayno shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the wisdom and the will of Hashem. This halacha in Mishnah or Gemara, which you are studying, which you are learning, which you're comprehending, which you're grasping, which you're toiling to master, to encompass, this halacha is not just a mathematical or intellectual beautiful concept, but it's actually the wisdom and the will of Hashem. As he explains, Sha'ala b'ritzayinai, it so arose in his will, in the will of Hashem, She'kesheyitin ru'uvin kach v'kach derech Moshe, that if, for example, a character named Ru'uvin would claim thus, v'shimayin kach v'kach, and Shimon, another character, will claim thus, Yiyapsak b'neim kach v'kach, such and such should be the verdict between them. For example, let's take an example, a Gemara. We'll take, for example, the halacha concerning the concept in Gemara known as Maida B'Miktas. Maida B'Miktas is a case where a character named Reuven is a plaintiff, and he schleps his colleague, another character named Shimon, to Bezdin, to the court, Jewish court, and he says, "You owe me $1,000. Yitain Reuven kach b'kach." Shimon, the defendant, says, "No, I do not owe you $1,000. I owe you $500. Why? Because I paid you $500. This is called a Maida B'Miktas, a partial conceder. He concedes for part of the money for the $500. The other $500 he paid. This is a serious case. Reuven claims thus, kach v'kach, and Shimon claims thus. So you open up a Gemara, Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Zayin Amid Aleph. So the Torah articulates to us what Hashem wants the verdict should be in this case. Shimon is obligated to take an oath where he swears that he paid up $500 and he's exempt of paying the other $500. When you learn this halacha, you learn the logic behind it. You learn the wisdom behind it, and fundamentally you learn the verdict. What are you comprehending in your mind? You're comprehending the wisdom of Hashem. The logic that dictates this verdict is whose logic? Is the Ribbono Shel Olam's logic. It's his rationale, it's his mind, it's his perspective, it's his way of thinking. The verdict in this halacha is whose will? Is Hashem's will, that is formulated, that is crafted as a consequence of the wisdom that dictates this will. So when a person understands this halacha, he is grasping Chachmasai Uritzayna Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As he elaborated more at length in Perek Dalet, that this actual halacha which we understand, that Shimon has to swear that he paid up $500, that is the very wisdom and will of God. And as Dr. Rebbe discussed, albeit that this very logic and this very wisdom in its origin, in its pristine source, cannot be fathomed by the mortal mind, cannot be conceived by our resources, by our finite cognitive faculties and attributes. Why? Because Chachmasa Yiratzeinu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its quintessence defies human logic by its very definition. Nevertheless, Hashem, who just as He possesses the power of infinite, expression, also simultaneously possesses the power of finite expression. So by His being infinite, by the virtue of His being infinite, that itself gives Him the ability to articulate His infinite wisdom and will in a manner that can be grasped by finite realities. So Hashem took this very will and concept and evolved it and developed it and metamorphosized it from stage to stage to stage until it assumed a physical dimension with which we can relate to. So we open up a Bava Kama and we read about a physical plaintiff and a physical defendant who are fighting about physical $1,000. And one guy says, "You owe me the money." One guy says, "You pay me the money." And there is logic behind it. And the logic we understand, the will we understand, we can relate to. And this is the very wisdom and will of Hashem. And Alter Rebbe continues, "Va'af im lo yahaya v'lo yiyah hadavar hazeh la'olam lavei l'mishpat al tainus tviyos elu." Even if it never did, nor ever will come to pass, that people should come to court over these arguments and claims, even if you're studying halachos of issues that are totally hypothetical, in the sense that they will never occur in the real tangible world. Mikol makom, nevertheless, since it arose thus in Hashem's will and wisdom, that if one person would claim this way and the other that way, the verdict be such and such. Therefore, when one knows and comprehends this verdict, for example, as a halach is set forth in the Mishnah, Gemara, or Paskim, which are the halachic codifiers, Hareze, this human being, masig v'toyfes umakiv b'sichloi, ritzayni v'chachmasish l'kadosh baruch. He actually comprehends and grasps and encompasses the will and wisdom of Hashem. The leis machshav v'tfisabe, whom no thought can grasp, v'leiber ritzayni v'chachmasish, nor can any thought grasp his will and his wisdom. Kiyim, except except when they, Hashem's will and wisdom, clothe themselves in the halachis set before us. And in addition to that, his mind encompasses the wisdom of Hashem, his mind is melubash b'hem, is enclosed in them, in these halachis, in the Hashem, in Hashem's will and wisdom contained in the Torah, as explained before, that when you understand the halacha l'ashurya al-bayra clearly and thoroughly, in addition to your mind encompassing the concept, your mind is also encompassed and enveloped by the concept. And Alter Rebbe says that v'hu yichud nifla, this makes for a wonderful union, she'ein yichud kamayhu, which there is none other, v'loi ke'erkoi nimtze klal begashis, and which has no parallel anywhere in the material world. Liyais la'achadim u'meyuchadim mamish. They, the mind and the concept, attain a complete oneness and unity, mikol tzad u'pina, from every side and angle. Over here, we have the uniqueness of when the human being's mind comprehends and grasps Allah of Torah. Over here, the Alter Rebbe says, this makes for a wonderful union. A union which has no parallel in the physical world, in the materialistic world, where the mind and the concept attain a complete oneness and unity from every side and angle. The concept becomes part and parcel of the identity of the mind. It becomes ingrained and embedded within the character of the mind. The mind encompasses it totally. It becomes part of the mind, part of the perspective, part of the thinking process of the human being. When you understand something clearly, the concept becomes part of you, part of your identity. Together with that, simultaneously, your mind, when you're in the midst of thinking it and at the moment that you grasp it, like we explained before, your mind becomes part of the entity of the concept. Over here there is complete fusion, there is complete oneness from every side and angle, including the fact that both the mind and the concept encompass and are encompassed by each other.